This week on the Time Bat Show.
Like on an accordion or whatever.
It's got like a flute too. Like.
Welcome to Time Aces and the Chief. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm the Chief. Ahoy there.
Ahoy
I think
there.
I see land.
Ahoy there, listeners. Oh, that's not land. That's just episode 96 of the Time Bat Show.
Man. I think we just nailed a new opening to this show.
We did. That's it. That's it. We got it. It took us 96 episodes to get there, but we got it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 96. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
Did you like my radio announcer voice for that?
Yeah, that was very smooth.
I know, it was smooth. Well, we're almost to 100, episode 100, so I have to be, like, smoother. Like, hello, and welcome to the show. You know, it's their level.
You know. I don't think I have a really good radio smooth voice that
okay,
I can
so
do.
I've been listening to a lot of like radio programs, and you've got like three voice styles. Okay, you've got like the deep smooth guy, right? He's usually the host. What?
He's probably like from the South and wears a cowboy hat.
I mean, in Texas, he is. He's always like the deep smooth guy. He's like, "Hello and welcome to blah 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 show."
Or he's Italian.
He's like the deep smooth guy. I don't know. Maybe he's Italian. And then you've got, like, the high-pitched, goofy guy, right? He's always like, oh, Joe, Big Joe, which is usually the radio. They always have, like, a name, like Big Joe or something. Like, oh, Big Joe, you're so funny, ha, ha, ha. Like, they're always high-pitched. And then you've got, like, the other guy who usually has some kind of accent. It doesn't matter, like, what kind of accent it is. It's just some kind of accent, you know, to, like, even it out. And so, like, you have to basically, since I'm the smooth guy now, you have to pick one of the other two.
So I either need to have a high-pitched voice.
Yes.
And I have to say, like, hey, big-time Aces, you're so funny.
Basically. Which is, like, the sidekick, right? You know?
Yes.
Or you have to be, like, or some other guy.
Is the guy with the accent, like, mysterious?
Yes, he's, like, the mysterious one. Like, he doesn't talk as much. But, like, whenever he says something, everyone, like, hangs on his words. Like, whoa.
Whoa.
Like, Jorge just said something. He's really cool or something.
Better take it all in.
Take it all in, yeah.
You know those old Westerns? Like, every time a Native American would be on stream, they'd say something like, the boar may go down to the well, but you must become the well and go to the boar.
And everyone, like, it's like, whoa,
he's got a point.
Even though, like, I have no idea what that means. You can always make those up, though. Like, like the boar, you just made that up at the top of your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. I don't know. Anyway, so think on what you want to do. I'll give you till next episode to come up with, like, a radio character.
I'm leaning towards becoming the Chief.
Yeah.
Like, that can be my nickname, you know, Chief.
Time Aces and the Chief. That's our new title. That's our new title. It's not the Time Bat Show, it's Time Aces
and the Chief.
I feel like we're being a little racist right now, but we're not like being that much. I don't know. Maybe only a little bit.
Yeah, we usually save this till the end of the podcast.
I'm being like into this kind of territory. I like this, is what I'm saying. Like, I think more Native Americans should be on
on radio programs. Absolutely. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. I'm saying that.
Okay.
All right. Before we have to completely cut the show short, how are you doing with your Linux setup? I know you're still on that.
I'm still recording using Linux. Mm-hmm. It's going pretty well, I guess. I was able to edit a show last time all by myself.
No, I remember. Mm-hmm. I was like on pins and needles because you're like, I'll do it. And then I was like, oh, is he going to even be able to do that? But yeah, so it just goes to show you, haters, you can do anything you want on Linux.
Except for play StarCraft.
Quiet. You can do anything you want on Linux. So how's it going today, Bat Six? Anything exciting happening?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah. Nothing new?
It's been a really exciting week for me.
Has it?
All kind of nerd stuff happening, but like my favorite StarCraft player won in the tournament, and he's made the finals. I'm super excited about that. Jadong.
Jadong, sure.
Mm-hmm. He's Zerg? My favorite. He's Zerg, yeah, of course.
Of course he is. Of course.
And I know that I think in a week from today, all public subs are going to be like $5.99 for a whole week. Isn't that awesome?
See, these are the things you look forward to in your 30s, folks. Just
yes, this is being 30. It's like, oh, the sports team won.
$5.99 public subs week. Yeah, I've been waiting all year for this.
They're practically giving them away. They're usually $7.99. That's like $2 off.
I love how you are looking forward to this. Like, it's going to be the highlight of your week next week.
So I've got the whole menu planned.
You have it all? You're going to do public sub per day? Like, every day?
Oh, almost certainly, yeah.
What do you got? You're going to do chicken tender one day, I'm assuming?
Yeah, that's probably Friday. You can't eat those every day or you'll die.
That's like the celebration of the end of the public sub week. So what are you going to do? Tell me your strategy.
I'll probably do, like...
Do you do, like, Italian? Or no? Are you not an Italian?
No, I don't like... Italian's too salty. I usually do roast beef or turkey.
Ooh, roast beef's good. Now, do you do mayo or do you do oil and vinegar?
Since I've become more experienced with getting public subs throughout my life, mm-hmm. I've realized that, you know, they sometimes put way too much mayo on your sandwich if you ask for it like directly.
Yeah.
So what I've started doing is I will tell them to hold the mayo and I will take two mayo packets from their dispensary area.
So other than that, you got a dry sup, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just lettuce, onions, and jalapenos.
Nice.
And that's my whole life that we're talking about.
It's exciting. You gotta be able to look forward to things, you know? Mm-hmm. The thing about public subs I like is they're so simple. You know, they're just really good. They're fancy. They're just good, you know?
And they're big.
Mm-hmm. The fanciest ones they have is the chicken tender one, you know? That's the fanciest public sub. I usually do turkey ham.
Yeah, you know, turkey and ham's good. That's what I do.
Anyway, you go for public sub right.
I was going to say, they do have one they release around Christmas time that has, like, cranberries on it, and it's turkey.
Oh, it's like the Thanksgiving.
It's like the thing. Yeah. Oh,
God. My brother got that once.
I remember.
Because when I was a kid growing up in Florida, I would occasionally, my mom would go to the grocery store, and she would be like, do you guys want anything? And, like, most of the time, I'd be like, yes, I want a public sub. And one year in, like, November, December, she's like going, and she's like, what kind of sub do you want? And I was like, all the turkey and like ham, or all the turkey roast beef. I don't remember what I got. And my brother, who had just saw the public sub Thanksgiving sub commercial like literally 5 seconds earlier on TV, was like, Mom, give me the Thanksgiving. Like, he didn't really know what he was getting himself into. He just like got it.
And then
and then he got home, and like she gave it to us, and like he kept asking if we wanted to trade. He was like, "It's really good. Do you want some?" And I was like, "No, I'm good." He was like, "Do you want to trade the subs?" And I'm like, "Nope. You dug your own grave here. You're eating your own Thanksgiving sub." And they use the bigger turkey. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's very similar to a normal turkey sub, except they just put cranberry sauce on it.
It's not good. Like,
there's still, like, lettuce on there.
Like, you shouldn't combine lettuce and cranberry. Yeah. Oh, it's gross. I think they might put stuffing on there too. I want to say they do. Maybe they do. It's not good. Can we talk about Thanksgiving like food for a second though? Because Thanksgiving food is good, like separately, right? Like when it's all not on the same, you know, not combined together. But I've noticed lately, a lot of places, and maybe Publix is the originator, they'll have like Thanksgiving sandwiches that they literally just put all Thanksgiving foods just like into one sandwich. Have you seen these things?
Yeah, I've seen this.
And it's kind of disgusting. Like, because you don't eat, like, when I'm at Thanksgiving, I don't take turkey and then like top it with all the stuff and then like shove it all in my mouth at once. Like, I don't do that, you know, but like these sandwiches make you do that. So.
Yeah, there's a place near here. It's a gas station called Daly's, and there's a gas station like turkey and cranberry stuffing sandwich that you can buy.
So bad. The last place I want to get a sandwich is at the gas station, and the last kind of sandwich I want to get is a turkey Thanksgiving sandwich. So it's like checking both of the boxes of awfulness.
I agree with you. Yeah, when I'm getting Thanksgiving food, I'm not just gonna put like a spoon cranberries into my stuffing,
like, and then like mix it with chunks of turkey and be like, "Ow, here we go." Like, no, not gonna do that. But they make it. I don't know. People, I guess, order it. They keep putting it on menus. Speaking of weird food, we were talking earlier about like Instagram food, like on Twitter. Like, these, like, food, you've seen them. Everyone's seen this stuff. Like, if you're on any form of social media, you'll have seen this. You're scrolling down your feed on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and you see a video of someone making some, like, dumbass food. Like, it's probably, like, BuzzFeed that, like, is posting this, right? And it's, like, a combination of all these foods that you like normally, but they, like, put them together because it's, like, novel or unique or whatever. So it's, like, a donut with, like, inside of a hamburger, like, with, like, fried egg on it or something. And, you know, it's really dumb.
I don't know how related this is, but it reminds me of, like, the Tony Hawk Pro Skater approach to cooking. Like, they're trying to, like, hit as many... They're trying to hit as many different tricks as they can in the air. All at once. Like, okay, get the cotton candy, get your jalapeno poppers, and you need all the fair food.
And then it's like and Thanksgiving combo. Too.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not quality, it's quantity. At that
Absolutely,
point.
Yeah.
Because in Tony Hawk, you get multipliers for every trick type you do.
Every different trick is a multiplier on your
and
score.
And then if you can like grind at the end of it, you know, even better. Like, you go off a ramp, do, like, a bunch of kickflips and whatever, and then grind, then you're done. I think the grinding in this point with food, that's your fried egg, right? That's your...
Yeah.
That's your fried egg. It's like...
Or your aioli.
Or both, right? It's like...
Yeah.
The fried egg aioli is like, you do a nose grind, and then you flip it, and you do, like, the back grind.
Oh, yeah. Both.
Because everyone ends with, like you said, either an aioli or like a fried egg. Or both if they're really trying to impress people. Mm-hmm. But a fried egg really pops visually, right? Because they like cut into that and then it's like the yellow yolk comes out and people are like, mmm. And they forget what they're looking at because there's no way a fried egg would make any food better that isn't already an egg, I feel like. I don't know. It bothers me. And to be fair, like, I love fried eggs. Probably one of my favorite foods. But I do not want them on things. Almost ever. Unless we're talking about, like, it's pretty good in, like, rice bowls sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't want it on a cheeseburger. I don't want it in any kind of dessert. You know, like, yeah. I don't want it on a donut or, like, I don't know. I don't want it in most places. And I feel like most restaurants, that's, like, their go-to, like, throw in the kitchen sink topping, crack fried egg, and just add 1,000 calories to this meal for no reason.
Just throw an egg on it. Who gives a shit? Like,
and that's a crap ton of calories. And I think another reason they do it, it's like, we need another sauce on this, but we can't stand to make a sauce, so we'll just put a fried egg on it, and then I'll just make its own sauce when you bite it. Anyway, I don't know. I'm annoyed at these foods, because most of the time they don't actually taste very good. Like, I don't know if you've had any of these weird...
Yeah, there's just too much going on. It's like bacon-wrapped sweet tarts or some, like, dumb, stupid donut.
I can't pay attention to what's going on. They're doing it a lot with desserts, which bothers me even more, because I love sweet food, but dessert especially, basically they only really have one flavor most of the time, right? And that flavor is sweet. So, like, the more crap you're putting on there, you're just drowning out the subtle flavors that still remain with just sugar, you know? So it's like, how does it taste? It's sweet! It's really sweet!
Yeah. It's especially something like an ingredient like bacon, that's enough. Like, just bacon is a lot. You don't need to add, like...
It's salty, it's greasy, it's meaty, you know?
Yeah, you don't need to add another big ingredient if you have bacon. That's enough. Like, it's chaos after that.
But then, and then it all gets lost in my mouth, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm eating anymore. I once had a donut that had, like, cereal on it. I shit you not. Like, it was...
Complete. Like, fruity... I've had one of those, like, Fruity Pebbles or something.
Yes. And all I could think of while eating it was, like, why are you wasting this perfectly good donut with some bad breakfast food that I ate when I was 12 and have never eaten again because it's bad breakfast cereal that, you know, like if I'm going out of my way to get a donut and the donut's like $5, the last thing I want to do is put like 20-cent breakfast cereal on top of that donut.
All over it.
You know, like I want to eat the frickin' donut. I don't want to eat Fruity Pebbles because I'm not 11 years old anymore. You know, it's just stupid. It feels like a way to disguise the fact that the actual donut isn't very good. It's like, but we got Fruity Pebbles on top. It's like, great, you got extra sugar. You bet a donut, you got sugar, and you put extra sugar in the form of shitty breakfast cereal on top of your donut. Thanks, congratulations, you really blew my mind with that one. But I digress. Sorry, I just have a lot of fan up. Frustration with these things.
Another trend people do is they will call a menu item like the naked Caesar salad.
So what does that even mean? The naked Caesar? Is that like organic or something?
It's naked.
Does that mean like it doesn't have a lot of stuff on it? Or
I think usually it means that it's either like raw in some way or like
it's, like, simple.
Yeah.
It's, like, back to basics, maybe?
Yeah, I like back to basics better than naked Caesar salad.
So it's like a normal Caesar salad.
Yeah.
So they have to call it naked because we've crossed this barrier where people assume there's going to be, like, 8,000 ingredients on their Caesar salad, and they have to call it naked to get a regular damn Caesar salad.
Like, listen, it's not wearing any bacon or jalapeno poppers. Like,
yeah, there's no onion rings in the Caesar salad. It's just a regular Caesar salad. Like, if a man from, like, the 50s came to a restaurant, they ordered a Caesar salad, they would get, like, mostly, like, meat and, like, not lettuce. Like, what the hell is all this? And it's like, oh, this is our Caesar salad. It's like, no, I just wanted a Caesar salad. And they're like, no. You want the naked Caesar salad. It's like, what are you talking about? I just want a damn Caesar salad. I feel like salad is more... Like, salad's getting crazy now. Like...
Yeah.
I was at a salad place recently, and it's like... mostly not lettuce now. It's like we got bacon bits, we got gorgonzola,
dried berries,
yeah, onion strings, steak, you know. And it's like, this isn't a salad, it's steak strips covered in like other fatty foods with some lettuce in the middle of it, you know. Yeah.
I think Publix has a salad that is like fried chicken, American cheese, bacon, like blue cheese, and it's what are we eating here?
Like, it's a salad though, because it's healthy. It's a salad. It has lettuce in it, so it counts.
Yeah, it's a salad in the sense that you eat it out of like a bowl. Like that's the only
thing. Some lettuce in it. If you like did the same thing, okay, like so take that salad, right? And like put all that stuff on a sub. Because honestly, all that stuff would fit on a sub. The chicken, yeah. The lettuce especially, you know, the bacon bits or whatever. If you put that on a sub and like put it on the menu, you would walk up there and you'd look at it and you'd be like, oh my god, that looks like a heart attack, you know, like waiting to happen. It sounds like something that would be like prime real estate on like an Arby's menu, you know, like the chicken, bacon, you know, the fried chicken,
blue cheese, nuts sub. Oh, and by the way, at the end, we just drown it in ranch dressing, like just coat it.
The fried chicken, blue cheese, bacon, nuts sub.
I love it. No, it's the wet. Fried because of the ranch, right? At the end, it's
all drenched in ranch. Yeah,
yeah.
The wet and wild,
the wet and wild chicken sandwich.
See, that's where now we're getting somewhere. And they just put lettuce on it to make you feel a little better about yourself for eating.
Yeah, that's what people want.
They don't want to be healthy. They just want to feel like they're being healthy.
And they want to feel wet and wild too.
They always they always come up with the weirdest names for foods though. Like it's always like something, you know, like burger, sandwich, whatever, and then like a modifier of like a food you're familiar with, like the chicken sandwich or the, you know, whatever sandwich. But then in the beginning it's like some wild adjective that like the flaming hot or the wet and wild or the, you know, the super freak. No.
I don't know about you, but it has always made me uncomfortable when they put like sexual adjectives or verbs in the freaking dish title.
Who does that? I don't really think I've seen that.
Oh, come on. The naked, the wet, like naked,
yeah, that is a little sexual.
Those are sexual words. Like
the naked.
I wasn't born yesterday. I know what they're doing, man. The
sexy steak salad. It's got like figs in it. That's sexy.
Yeah. Or like, have you ever been at a restaurant and like the waiter will come up and he's gonna ask you, "Hey, would you like some dessert?" And he like changes when he's talking about dessert. Oh, he's like, "Can I tempt you with my?"
I always do that. It's so weird.
Like, what are you talking about, buddy?
They always.
I'm with my mom here. The tempting
words. I've noticed that, but I haven't, like, they do change their, like, whole thing when they do that. Like, might I tempt you? They always use, like, those sexual words, like, may I whet your appetite? Can
I just save any room in there? Like, like, no thank you, check please. They present
this dessert menu in kind of a sensual kind of way. You know,
yeah. It's like, do like a hand wave over it.
Like, with the regular menu, they just like throw at you. Like, here's our food. We know you're getting the fat ass steak salad. Like, just get it. But then when it's time for dessert, they're like, look into my eyes. And the chocolate mousse like thing is like called the sensual chocolate. Or it's like, that's part of the description. Like, it's chocolate mousse cake or whatever. And the description is like, this sensual chocolate mousse cake will have sex with your mouth.
The bursting chocolate lava cake. It's like it's got to explode. And this is getting too far, but
it explodes into your mouth with flavor. It
melts. It's gonna get on. It's gonna get everywhere.
The hot and heavy chocolate peanut butter shake. The hot fudge, and like hot fudge is in quotes. Mm-hmm. So it's like the hot fudge. Oh no, I got it. It's like cinnamon, right? So it's like cinnamon and hot fudge, like shake.
Yes.
So they call it the hot and spicy.
Ooh, fudge. Yeah, I like it.
Fudge shake. You know.
Yeah. Anyway. And it's getting to be fall, so there's pumpkin in there too for some reason.
The sexy pumpkin chocolate cake, chocolate pie. What's the egg quiche? Right, that's the thing. Is that a
dessert? Yeah?
Is that a dessert? Yeah. Or is that?
I don't know. I think it can be a dessert.
I'm trying to think of other dessert. The sexy pumpkin quiche.
The lemon cake.
That doesn't sound sexy at all. No. The lemon cake. You need like a French word. You know, there's like plenty of French words for pastries. What you really need is just like some French word, you know. Oh, like the cinnamon, the lemon crusté soufflé. And it has the word drizzled in the description. It's like,
yes,
sensually drizzled over the top. Melt in your mouth. All right, I'm getting uncomfortable talking about this.
It's okay.
We'll move on to something else now. Yeah, food is fun, I guess you could say.
Food is fun, but it annoys me. Everything annoys me, though, so
are maybe. You ready for your first trivia question of the show?
Yes, I'm ready for my first trivia question. Should I, I'll pick a lifeline.
Well, I have three for you today. I'll tell you your first category, and then you can pick a lifeline.
Okay.
Your first category is technology. Okay. What lifeline would you like for your technology trivia question?
So I'm betting on my, my background in technology to assist me with this question. Okay. So I'll pick a, like, I'll save some of the good ones for later, I think. Sure.
That makes sense.
I'll do a 50-50 for this question.
50-50? Okay. I hate to disappoint you, but this is the history of technology, so I hope...
Great.
there's another category that's history. I didn't want to do history twice. My Alexa just went off after saying that, apparently.
It's okay.
Alexa, stop! You're welcome. Apparently that was like me saying technology. She was like, I'm ready to talk about this now. She was like reading the whole Wikipedia page for technology. We would have been here a while. Anyway, sorry.
That's awesome.
I don't know how she... Sometimes she just decides that she's important to the conversation. Okay, so your first question is technology. You chose 50-50. The question is, Alexander Graham Bell originally suggested what greeting to be used to answer the telephone instead of hello. Do you know, are you aware of this greeting?
No, I don't know about this.
Okay, so Edison suggested hello to be used as the standard greeting when you answer the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone, suggested this greeting to be used to answer the telephone. Was it A, howdy, B, shalom, C, ahoy, or D, yo?
Ooh. I didn't think it would be any of these.
well, it's one of them.
Howdy, shalom,
ahoy,
yo, and...
Ahoy and yo.
Ahoy.
That's right. Those are them. What are you feeling here? Walk me through your thought process.
I don't think it's yo.
You don't think it's yo.
I don't know the date the telephone was invented, but I don't think they were just like, yo, man, what's up? How's hanging?
You don't think yo entered the lexicon when the phone was invented?
No, I don't think it did.
That's fair. Yo, hey, Thomas Edison. Yo, man, how's it hanging? How's your phone? Let me get your digits.
Ahoy, that's, pirates say that.
They do?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Shalom means peace in Hebrew, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, howdy is my favorite choice.
Sounds like a cowboy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and use my 50-50.
Okay. The answer is either howdy or ahoy.
I actually thought it was shalom.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's not.
So howdy or ahoy.
Yep.
You know what? I think it's howdy, but I kind of want to go for ahoy because I think maybe Alexander Graham Bell had a sense of humor about him.
Mm-hmm. And he would do Ahoy, you think?
Yeah, just to be funny.
So is Ahoy your final answer?
Yes, I'll make that my final answer.
Ahoy is correct. Congratulations. Yes. Well, good logic there. That was good.
What Alex? That sounds funny.
It does. I mean, Howdy sounds kind of funny too, but probably not as funny as it did back. Like, Howdy probably sounds funnier now than it did back then.
Yeah, like people actually say Howdy. No one would ever say Ahoy.
That's true. No one uses Ahoy anymore.
Did anyone other than like Captain Hook?
Sailors did, I think. I don't know. Captain Hook is the only person that's ever said Ahoy. You know what? We should start saying Ahoy to each other.
We should.
Yeah, that'll be the new thing. Just be like Ahoy, Batsnacks. That's gonna be our start to the show. Ahoy, Batsnacks, and Ahoy, Tie Bases, and then we can play some like pirate sounding music. Like on an accordion or whatever.
It's got like a flute too. Like.
Welcome to Timaces and the Chief. I'm Timaces.
And I'm the Chief. Ahoy there.
Ahoy
I think
there.
I see land.
Ahoy there, listeners. Oh, that's not land. That's just episode 96 of the Time Mat Show.
Man. I think we just nailed a new opening to the show.
We did. That's it. That's it. We got it. It took us 96 episodes to get there, but we got it. What else is going on in the world? Let me see. Oh, I had this really good idea for a science fiction movie or show or something, or book or something that I wanted to share with you. Okay?
Okay.
So, here's the idea. This is completely... not segue from anything we were just talking about, but I was reminded because this is in my notes. So here's the idea. This was inspired by a story where someone was like fired for something that they're like, or not fired. They were like, they took heat from something that like their father did or something like that. So they like got in trouble for something their father said like years ago, which is crazy. So anyway, so the idea is, it's kind of like Minority Report, but like in reverse. Okay. So like, you know, in Minority Report, you can like get in trouble for things you haven't done yet. So this is, you could get in trouble for things that other people that are like kind of sort of related to you have done, but like in the past. Okay. So like if you're, this is a terrible example, but if you're like a German person, right, today, and your like grandfather was like a Nazi or something... You like go to jail for that, or like something would be like, you know, something would be would happen this bad to you for that.
Yes.
So, in this science fiction universe, you basically pay people that would be known as like the cleaners to like clean up your history and also your like familial history. So like, if your family has any weird skeletons in their closet, like. My grandfather was a Nazi or something like that, you know, crazy stuff like that. They would like clean all that stuff up for you so that like you would appear to be like a normal or not a normal, like a clean, strange bad things person.
They like restore the honor of your family and your family's name
and
by
your,
getting rid of all the bad
name.
Stuff.
Like pretty much they make you seem like a completely upstanding person and everyone that's related to you completely upstanding because relating with people that are bad is bad for you in this future scenario. But like it would be really expensive to do. And so like only rich people would be able to afford it. And maybe they would have like some like cheaper versions of the service that like doesn't like work as well or whatever. But eventually you'd get to the point where all these rich people seem like they're really good people because they've had their pasts like wiped and stuff. And all these like middle class or like poor people, like their records are exposed and they seem like terrible human beings, but they're just as bad as everyone else. They just, you know, don't have the money to pay for this thing, you know.
Yeah. And like the thing about that is someone who is maybe middle class or on the way up, someone who hasn't had their name cleared yet and can't afford it, they have no chance of being in that hierarchy as long as their past has demons.
There's like a barrier there because they're like, oh, you want to become the CEO of this company? Like, and then they like look into their past and like, oh, actually, you know, at this point in your life, this was bad and we didn't like this. So no, we're going to stop you there. But like everyone that got up there, like had to do that to like be, to be to you know get the promotion to in general. So it's almost like the rich people can become rich, can stay rich because they can afford to wipe their mistakes away.
It seems like really dynastic. Like obviously the rich people's kids would end up ruling them because.
And meanwhile, they can do whatever the hell they want because they can just clean it, and there would be like this whole thing with like. You know, everything is on the internet, so it, like the service would be like a lot of hacking and like, you know, cyber espionage and shit like that, you know, very like, I don't know, very like neuromancer kind of stuff, you know, like cleaning data and all that stuff. And it's interesting, after I like thought of this, I was like reading about some things in China where China has like social media, like they have their own social media. And they have, like, this thing that the government, like, scores people based on their associations. And if you associate with people that are, like, have criminal activity or, like, did bad things in their past, you have, like, a lower citizen score only because you're associating with them. Not because you're a bad person, but, like, only because you're associating with... You have once associated with these people. So, like, if you ever dated someone that had a past that you didn't know about, or you, like, were friends with someone who had a past you didn't know about... The government would deem you as like lower than normal, and so like this is another example of like, you know, this person like associated with this terrible human being once, so you know their battles.
Yeah, you know, even if you were like really good friends with someone and found out like, and you didn't know while you were friends with them that they were like secretly a murderer or like a political conspirator,
or like in the past they like robbed some, like they used to be they're a reformed criminal, maybe that's a good example. It's like
Jean Valjean from Les Mis. It's basically him.
Exactly It's Jean Valjean. But yeah, you would you wouldn't know, and maybe you find out and but by that point it's too late, like the government.
And you know, he only stole a loaf of bread to feed his children.
You don't know context at this point because it's all just data points.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, oh, this person knows this person who did this bad thing, so they must be bad. They must all be bad. But yeah.
So a really cool character would be this career cleaner, though.
Yes.
Because
he's like the best. Like, people pay him the most.
He's an expert hacker. Maybe, okay, maybe he started poor, but he learned so much about cleaning that he's, like, kind of grown into this position of power, and he's, like, discovered all this corruption and stuff because of his, you know, his position as a cleaner.
He started at the bottom,
Yeah.
And, like...
Like, that's one of the ways you can work your way up is obviously by being good at cleaning.
But, like, his record is, like, sealed because he himself has cleaned his own... record.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's like a nobody. Like nobody knows who exactly he is. But then like you could go into his backstory where like, oh, he like, you know, stole things when he was younger because he was really poor or something.
He killed a man in Reno.
Killed somebody or something. But like the people that want their records cleaned, like they don't care what he did because they're paying him like under the table maybe at first anyway. But then later he like makes a legit, you know, business out of it or something like that.
And, you know, the people that he's cleaning, they would not want their past to be cleaned by a previous criminal. So they would probably even insist that he did away with his own past first.
But he's the best, so they want him to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could have these weird, like... And you could have all this, like, corporate war stuff. It's like, our cleaning service is better than this cleaning service or whatever. And then you'd have like, these competing companies that maybe are like... We can get past the cleaners and find out the dirt, like, that's, like, archived on, like, old parts of the internet or something like that, you know? Like, when you really need the dirt, we'll find it or something like that, you know? So it's, like, war of information, basically, between people.
Or maybe even when you need to make some dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, like, some black hats, yeah.
Yeah, but they're, like, legit businesses, but they, like, call it they're digging up dirt. Like, they call it private investigation. But in reality, they're just, like, making stuff up about people. Like, and you can't tell what's real and what's not anymore because there's so much information out there. So you need to hire, like, companies to defend you from that, and then also companies that, like, clean your record when, like, fake stuff comes on it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool idea. Anyway, that was my, like, concept for, like, it's not really a story, but, like, a world, a fictional universe, if you will.
A fictional world.
But the sad thing about it is I feel like we're getting to I don't think we'll get all the way there, but, like, I can see getting to a similar place.
I don't know. Espionage and intelligence in business is a big thing right now.
Yeah. And so is, like, digging up dirt on people. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like someone, the best way to, like, ruin their life is, like, dig up dirt. Good example. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Either of those movies?
I've seen.
So, like, the director of those movies is now fired from the third movie because some asshole, like, didn't like him. So he, like, dug up some, like, comments he made, like, 10 years ago on the internet that was some, like, bad taste jokes. I think it was about pedophilia or something. I mean, they weren't good jokes. They weren't that funny and they were distasteful, right? But, like, this person dug up these comments from, like, 10 years ago and, like, brought them to attention of, like, the internet. And Disney saw it, and, you know, Disney being a family company fired James Gunn for this because they didn't want to be associated with that. The thing is that, like, yes, he did it. He owned up to it. Like they weren't good comments. But, like, everyone in the history of the world has some thing that they did in their past that they're not really happy with that is probably maybe not equally as bad as that, but pretty bad, you know. I'm not saying everyone's a murderer or anything, but I guarantee you everyone has made some, you know,
bad
comment once in their life. And if you were able to dig that up, you could get pretty much anyone fired at any point in time. So, like, this isn't just, like, you get to a point where it's like, oh, you can dig up bad things to, like, hurt bad people. Like, that's fine. But, like, you can also do it to, like, mess with legitimately good people, or like you said, like reformed people who used to be and now are like better. And it's just like an interesting concept because it's like you're basically waging a war of information, whereas everyone is kind of bad, and it's not really about how bad everyone is, it's about what can you find, right? It's not like this person's better than this person. It's like, no, they both equally made some bad decisions. It's just who can find the bad decisions first and expose it to the public. You know, that's what it's more about, which is kind of wild to me.
Yeah. This is something I'm like super serious about too, because like if you think about kids now, we have the first generation of people that have their whole lives, everything they've ever said, done, like friend people they've been friends with, it's all on the internet.
Yeah.
And we don't even know yet how that information is going to be used, because like the algorithms are just getting better, like the tech is just getting better, but that information is going to be there for when everything is ready to examine it. Yeah. Like,
and it's only a matter of time before we have the processing power and the hardware and the software to examine all of that, like whenever, like, we want.
We have facial recognition and all that now, right now. But like wait 100 years and just imagine the kind of data technology we'll have, and we'll still have all that old data too.
Yeah, we're only really limited right now by the amount of processing we want to do on data. Like, we have all the data, like it's there, it's ready to go.
The only it's thing not going anywhere.
The only thing that's limiting us right now is the fact that, you know, it would cost a crap ton of processing power to examine all this data at once. And right now, like, if you want to find something out about someone, you can. You have the tools to do it. It's just a matter of they don't do it with everyone because it would just take too much time. But in the future, it's feasible that, like, you know everything about anyone at any time, whenever you want, at the drop of a hat, instantaneously, because the processing power is such that you can know everything about everyone, like, all at once, basically. And that's, I don't know, that's pretty frightening.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
Like that. I think at some point we'll get to a point where humans will stop, you know, putting all this stuff voluntarily on the internet.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
But there's going to be a stretch that's like a 30-year stretch, starting probably in like the mid-90s to like, you know, 2025 or something, where, mm-hmm. you know, everyone that lived in that time is just exposed, you know, to
yeah.
to information. Like, they've exposed all their information to the world. So, fun.
Do you want to do a second trivia question?
Yeah, speaking of history and the world in 100 years, your second category of trivia is history.
History.
So what lifeline would you like for this one?
For this one, I'll need probably my most powerful one. So I'll take out the 5-second Google.
Good choice. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
What character was the personification of New England in the 1800s? So this character preceded Uncle Sam. You know Uncle Sam, the personification of America. Yes. This was a character... what's so funny about Uncle Sam? He's just a funny character.
He's just a hilarious guy, in my opinion.
Character. So before he existed, there was a character that was personifying the region of New England. And what was this character's name? Was it A, Brother Jonathan, B, Uncle Eustace, C, Ezra the Hook Smith, or D, Big Bill England?
Right. Ezra the Hook Smith. Is that a wrestler?
It's one of the answers. Why are you laughing at this? Maybe it's the right answer.
Maybe it is.
You don't know.
I hope it is.
Ezra the Hook
Smith. He's a pirate too. He's got a hook for a hand.
And he says ahoy a lot.
Yeah.
He can be, that could be your character on the show. We were looking
Ezra the Hook.
Yeah, we were looking for your character. You know, you were going to be the chief, but you could be the Hook. Time Ace is in the Hook. B.S. is the Hook.
I'm Time Ace, and I'm Ezra the Hook. What's his name?
Smith.
He's I got to say normal, the whole thing.
He's got a normal yeah. last name. Ezra the Hook Smith. Anyway, so personification of New England is a Brother Jonathan, Uncle Eustace, Ezra the Hook Smith, or Big Bill England.
All right, I'm going to have to use my lifeline for this one.
5 seconds. All right, let me get my timer out. I was going to use my iPhone timer, but I feel like we have to use the Microsoft timer as is tradition.
Yes.
So, yeah. Even though it takes me about 3 times as long to set it than it does to use it. Are you ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, Google.
Personification.
Boop. Time's up.
All right. Is John Bull an answer?
John Bull is not an answer. You have Brother Jonathan, Uncle Eustace, Ezra the Hook Smith, and Big Bill England.
It says John Bull, though.
I don't know who John Bull is.
It says he's an imaginary figure who is a personification of England, similar to American Uncle Sam. Are you sure?
New England, the personification of New England.
Oh, no. Well, listeners, in case you were wondering who England's Uncle Sam is.
I love how these names are all fantastic, though. Okay, so now that you know it's John Bull and Uncle Sam, now you kind of get a vein of, like, these are the kind of the tones they go for when they name these characters, right? So now that you know what I mean?
Yeah, these are, like, short, powerful names.
Right. John Bull. All right, so your options are Brother Jonathan, Uncle Eustace, Ezra the Hook Smith, or Big Bill England.
All right. I don't think it's Ezra the Hook Smith.
Okay.
I don't think it's Big Bill, because they have Big Ben.
That's true. So you think it's Brother Jonathan or Uncle Eustace?
I don't think it's Uncle Eustace, because when we picked Uncle Sam, we wouldn't have made an uncle, too, if England also had an uncle.
Well, England doesn't have an uncle. It's John Bull. Or is he an uncle? I don't know. Maybe he's an uncle.
Uncle Eustace, though.
Oh, okay.
Or New England. Oh, I'm getting confused in my mind.
I see what you're saying. They wouldn't have picked
that another uncle. That logic doesn't work.
They wouldn't have picked another uncle. Probably. I don't know.
So New England. Ezra the Hooks. I'm gonna get this one wrong.
Maybe you won't. I mean, you're eliminating Ezra the Hook, so you got, and you're eliminating Big Bill, right? Or are you not? Maybe you are.
I don't know.
Big Bill England.
You know what? I think I'm gonna go with Ezra the Hook Smith.
Are you sure about that?
You say that. It might be wrong, but I no. Let's just go with it. Ezra the Hook Smith. Final answer.
That's false. Why would it be Ezra the Hook Smith?
Cause he's the hook.
Why would that be his name?
I don't know.
I just threw that in there as like a gimme. Like, oh, he's not gonna pick this one because it's ridiculous.
New England has like fishing.
Oh no, the correct answer was Brother Jonathan, which is like the most standard of all the names. Brother Jonathan. Which well, you almost went with, but you went with Ezra the Hook Smith. Doesn't okay, Ezra the Hook Smith and Big Bill England sounds like two like heavyweight boxers, doesn't it?
It does. Wrestlers, like, boxers.
Yeah. Like in this corner it's Ezra the Hook Smith. And in this corner, Big Bill England. And Big Bill England's got like a big, like, mustache.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so. And in the middle of their match, who's the other guy?
Big Bill England.
What was another one of the choices?
Uncle Eustace.
Uncle Eustace comes running out of the crowd and just like gets in the ring.
He's like old. He's yeah. like Uncle Sam, but like really old. He's yeah. like Uncle Sam's uncle.
Yeah, you could have one of those WWE moments where someone... Yeah.
Yeah. It's Brother Jonathan, Uncle Eustace, Ezra the Hook Smith, and Big Bill England. They're all together. They do like tag teams. You know? It's like one of those. It's like a cage match, or whatever they call those things.
Yeah.
You want to do some Would You Rathers or Reddits, whichever you prefer?
Sure, let's do some Would You Rathers.
Let's do it.
Would You Rather is a segment where we're going to answer Would You Rather questions generated by an artificial intelligence. Named so they're going to be
Ezra
weird questions.
The Hooks. Just
I wish.
I think I'm going to rename my Twitter handle Ezra the Hooks.
Please do. All right. Would you rather stay in an Alzheimer airport or shades of ketchup?
Alzheimer airport would be awful because you'd be forgetting everything like, all the time. That's what I'm assuming.
Yes. So would everyone else. That's like true. The pilot.
Like you'd be like, where's my gate? And they're like, what? Where am I? What gate? Or shades of ketchup?
Yeah.
I
mostly chose this one just because of how horrifying Alzheimer Airport sounds.
You would walk around and no one would know where they are or what they're doing.
Nope. Or
planes would be like crashing into the airport like all the time.
you'd finally get on a plane, probably the wrong one. You'd and the pilot's up front and he's like, "Why won't my car start?" Like
he's like yells for his wife. He's like, Janine, my keys, where are they? Janine, where are the keys? Where did I leave them? I don't want to make fun of people with Alzheimer's, but it's
true. Yeah, it's a very sad illness.
Alzheimer's is like the shittiest illness in the world because you like forget everything.
Yeah, it's like honestly the scariest thing I can imagine, which is why I kind probably, of I don't probably know, have to laugh. Yeah,
like I'd rather just die. I mean, I'm serious. It's awful. I think there are times when you have like lucidity and you know what's going on, but most of the time, like you're just confused and you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, scared.
Sounds like sounds
yikes.
Awful. Sounds really awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, the proceeds of this episode will go to Alzheimer's. If we had proceeds.
I'd be happy to do that.
So I'd
would
rather,
you rather write...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, would you rather write all the time or always speak?
Oh, my God. This is like two worst nightmares. Always speaking sounds exhausting. So does always writing. But at least with always writing, I'll be able to, like, I don't know. If I write something stupid, then, you know, no one has to see that. But if I say something stupid, it's out there forever. In the air, you know? So I think I'd go with write. What would you go with?
I'd go with writing.
I'm bad at talking. Like, I'm good at talking on the podcast. But I'm, like, bad at talking in real life.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like, I'm really bad at it. You know how sometimes you're, like, talking to someone, and then there's, like, this silence? And then you're like, am I supposed to say something here, or am I supposed to wait, or am I supposed to walk away? You know what I'm talking about, right? That, like,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Silent moment. I feel like I never learned the, like, social cues, like, properly. Because I'll get to points where there's silence in a conversation. And other people know, like, okay, this means the conversation's over, I'll walk away. Sometimes people will be like, oh, this just means, like, you know, we're thinking and someone's going to talk. And then other people will know exactly what it means and they'll, like, you know, say something off the top of their head to break the silence or whatever. Like, I can do none of these things. So I'll just, like, stand there and, like, wait. And, like, my head is analyzing, like, if the conversation's over, I should just leave. If it's not over, then I should say something. But if it's not over and they want to say something, I should just wait for them to say it. So, like, I'm at this, like, checkmate, basically, with myself, where I'm, like, trying to decide what to do. Most of the time, I just walk away, which is, like, really, really awkward. But sometimes, I will, like, say something, but I never know what to say because I'm so bad at this kind of thing that what I'm saying is, like, completely inconsequential. It's just there to, like, bridge the gap of the conversation, if you will. But most of the time, I'll, like, interrupt them, like, right as they're about to say something, and I'll be like, oh, damn. Sorry, what were you going to say, you know, that was actually important? So it just makes it really, I don't know, awkward.
Yeah. Have you ever, like, this is something I do a lot, like, terminated a conversation too early, and you're, like, walking away, but they haven't, like, finished as quickly as you thought they would?
Yes. And you're like, now what do I do? Do I turn back around, or?
I usually turn back around and go, like, yep, yep, like, and I try to, like...
You keep moving. You're like, yep, yep.
You
yep.
can't stop.
Like, you've already committed to it. You don't want to look like a loser, you know, going back and continuing it.
You're like, oh, you're still talking. Great. Like,
yeah. Whoops. Yeah, I walk away too often because I, like, don't know what to do. I'm like, well, that was fun. And I just walk away. And then they'll, like, start talking as I'm walking away. I'm like, wait, never mind. Something else is happening. Or I'll, like, wait too long and be like, they're going to say something, aren't they? And they don't say anything. And then I'll be like, all right. And then I'll walk away. And then they'll say something. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm bad at those cues. But, you know, it's what it is. It's fine. I'm not that awkward. I'm just sometimes I feel like I don't pick up on that stuff as well as other people do, you know. Very subtle.
Yeah, it's not my strongest
suit. It's not my forte. I'm not an expert in communication.
All right, let's do one more. Would you rather? Would you rather marry a kitten or find a movie about you?
Find a movie about me, I guess. It'd be a really boring movie, though, to tell you. Would it be like a feature length film? Like,
yeah,
it be
like it's feature length.
The Forrest Gump of my life, if you will. You know?
Yeah, it's like Boyhood to adulthood.
So like Forrest Gump, just without all the exciting parts.
Yeah, like without running across the United States.
Yeah, without being a ping pong master, going to Vietnam, meeting the president, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I guess I would watch the movie, which I would probably be depressed the whole way through. It's like, wow, what are you doing, you idiot? Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably take the movie too, just sit through it and be like, great,
good decision, dumbass. Yeah, that'd be me the entire movie probably. Part of the movie I'd be like, oh, this was fun. I remember this part in my childhood. You know, playing video games and running around outside. That was fun. Yeah, and then you get to an adult and you're like, what the hell are you doing?
You have no what idea. Are you doing, man?
You have no idea what's going on, do you? It's kind of like the time travel thing. Like, if you could go back in time and see yourself as a teenager or whatever, what would you tell yourself? You know what I mean?
I've said this before. I would just tell myself something just to troll me, just to, like, mess so mean, with me. Though. Yeah, but, like, what are you gonna do?
What
like,
can you really already say to change that anything?
Yeah, you already did your best. Like, just have some fun. Like,
yeah, that's true. I'd be like, it's not getting any better, so just live it up while you still can.
I would be like, listen, you need to play the lotto every day.
here's the sports almanac for 1985.
It's all like wrong.
It's like, why are you giving me this? It's like, oh, you haven't seen Back to the Future 2 yet. Damn it. Yeah. You ready for your last and final trivia question?
Yes.
All right. This one's easy. I don't know if I want to give you a lifeline for this one. Okay, you can have a lifeline, but you can't have... You can't have, like, any 50-50 style lifelines, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
You can't have any elimination lifelines on this one.
I'll do some Bonnie Hall. Probably won't work.
You know what? I'm not going to give you lifelines for this one. I'm just making an executive decision. I'm sorry in advance, but that's what it is.
It's okay.
This is a true or false question. That's why I'm not giving you lifelines. The true or false question is, lobsters can live forever. True or false?
Okay, so I've read about this before.
You know this phenomenon?
Yes.
Okay.
But, like, alright, that depends on how you define forever, too, right?
I'm defining it as without, like, being bodily murdered, mm-hmm. you know, like, just in a tank, eating daily. There you go.
I'm going to say true.
You're really going with true?
Yes.
Damn it. I thought you'd have a harder time with this one. That's correct. Yeah, true is correct. They apparently don't have, like, the genome or something that ages them. So, like, they could just live forever and ever and ever.
It must be nice.
The weird thing is, they keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they keep growing, like, forever, as long as they live. So, like, potentially, there's, like, a giant frickin' lobster out there that's, like, 300 years old that we just haven't discovered yet on, like, the bottom of the Marianas Trench or something, you know? Just chilling out there, being giant.
His name's, like, Krakko, and he eats, like, ships in the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah.
Like, maybe that's why, you know, the Bermuda Triangle's messed up. Like, he has a giant claw, and he's like, Kwa-chow! And they were like, oh, it's the Kraken. Like, no, it's Krakko, the lobster. Mm-hmm. The giant, immortal lobster. And then once you get that big, like, you don't have any natural predators anymore.
No.
So, you're the king. The only thing that could kill you is, like, sickness or something. You know?
Yeah, you know, lobsters, they can move really fast with their tails. So, that would be a scary beast.
It would be. Have you seen The Meg? It's like a new... shark movie in theaters?
No, I haven't seen it.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I saw it. It was, like, really bad, but also really good at the same time. Like, it was a good, bad movie, if that makes sense.
It does.
It's about a giant megalodon in the ocean. And, like, sharks have been done to death, but it was still fun. But I'm thinking, like, why don't we have some fun with some other sea creatures, you know? And I think the next... movie should be like giant lobster. You know what I mean? We've done giant squid, we've done giant octopus, we've done giant sharks, giant lobsters, or giant crab, you know, some kind of giant crustacean, I think would be fun. You know?
I think you present that as like, you know, in shark movies the shark is the villain. Mm-hmm. I think in this movie, like, the lobster wouldn't be a villain.
So it'd be like a Godzilla kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah, like the villain would be like a poacher that wants to eat the lobster.
Oh, I was thinking the villain would be like another mutated.
Oh, that would be cool too.
You know, like in Godzilla, like he always fights something in the end. Yeah. You know?
You're gonna have Krakow the lobster versus like Bonzo the shrimp.
But like Krakow's like natural, like he's nature's thing. Bonzo mm-hmm. is like a shrimp that was like irradiated in like a lab or something.
And he's a mecha shrimp.
Some like Japanese scientist. We're trying to make like a jumbo shrimp for
ramen.
And they made him too jumbo. And then like the government like took him because they wanted to like research jumbo. What's his name? Mm-hmm. His name's Jumbo now. I don't know.
His name's Jumbo, yeah.
And they like took him to like research him. And then like he was like struggling to breathe in the water because it wasn't salty enough, so they like rigged some kind of mechanized thing around him to like help him.
Oh, he's like Bane.
Yeah. And that's how he became like the mecha shrimp. Mm-hmm. And then the problem with this is shrimp are really dumb, so like how would he escape and like cause havoc?
Yeah, they're dumb and they're not aggressive.
Like they wouldn't really be a very good villain. Like lobsters are aggressive. They'll like mess you up, you know.
A shrimp, though, like, it'll... Maybe it just... How does it hurt things, too? They don't have claws.
I don't know.
It just rams... Like,
feet. It rams stuff with its head or something? I don't know. Maybe the shrimp is the good guy and the lobster is the bad guy.
It's the bad guy.
In this scenario. I don't know. Maybe the shrimp just... I mean, it's so big, right? So mm-hmm. it just, like, jumps on boats and like, just, like, wrecks them. You know, like breaches. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, it's like it's a public safety hazard. He's too big.
Like the world isn't ending or anything. It's just like it's just annoying. You know, it's just like yeah. He's in the way. Like there's not like any Tokyo's gonna get destroyed. It's like no, he's just kind of in the way. He's ruining things for the ship people, for the fishermen and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's jumping on their ship and, you know, it's sinking because he's so stupid because he's a giant. So that, like, Lobstro comes out of hibernation because that's how he mm-hmm. does. Like, every 100 years, you know, he comes out of hibernation to, like, kill, you know, the folly of man, you know, which is currently yeah. the shrimp. The jumbo shrimp. Jumbo the jumbo shrimp.
He eats the shrimp because it's the only food source big enough to sustain him.
That's how he lives. Every 100 mm-hmm. years he comes out of hibernation when he smells like a giant creature that man has created. And then he mm-hmm. eats them because that's how he survives. And then he goes back to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah. So like ever so often when humanity creates some giant abomination of nature, Krakow comes out and he's like, dinner time. Dinner time.
I think you have to spin a backstory too. Like at one point, aliens visited us, but mm-hmm. Krakow ate them. Like, and that's where the aliens went.
They like tried to abduct people, but Krakow's like, I'm not having this. I'm having dinner instead. Krakow's responsible for like our safety back like millennia or whatever. Like the dinosaurs he ate.
That's really funny. He protects us.
Unknowingly, though. He doesn't like. Yeah. He doesn't have a taste for humans. Like, they're too small and they don't taste very good to him.
Yeah. But he's so stupid, he can't even feel pain, but like...
He's a lobster. He's a lobster. He doesn't know any better. And then, like, at some point, humanity, in, like, the third movie, humanity tries to get Krakow and, like, research him. And they get those, like, lobster rubber band things, you know, and they try to like get him on there, but Krakow doesn't have any of it, and he like goes on a rampage. And then the government like makes some contraption to like kill Krakow because they're really mad at Krakow for like wrecking their city or something after he escaped.
Right.
And they make mm-hmm. like Mecha Godzilla or something stupid to like kill Krakow. Mm-hmm. But, like, then, like, it goes all Skynet and, like, decides that, like, you know, humanity isn't worth saving or something. And so, like...
It sounds like Evangelion. Like, they build an Eva. Like...
To kill Krakow. They make an Eva. They say, Shinji, get in there and kill him.
And Shinji's like, no, I don't wanna.
And he starts, like, killing people left and right. And then Krakow's like, oh, I gotta save humanity again. You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
And he eats Shinji.
That's right.
And that's the end.
Gives him sustenance. That's Krakow 3. Evangelion. Anyway.
It would be a great movie.
It would be. Really nailed that one.
Speaking of science fiction concepts, I had one. Do you want me to give it to you in the last couple minutes of the show?
I want to hear it.
So I have this idea, and I think it would fit in your kind of, you know, information cleaner world where there's this order of monks called the Snake Temple.
Okay.
It sounds really lame, but trust me, it's cool.
I like the sound of it. Go ahead.
So, like, their whole thing, you know how monks are big on, like, repetition, doing the same thing every day?
Over and over
like,
again,
every day is the same. Mm-hmm. So these people, they try to, like, form their lives into snake shapes. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So, like, if you think about a regular person, like, if you step outside of time and space and look at, like, a person living across time, it looks like a snake.
Does it?
Yeah. Because, you know, you're in every moment, and you kind of stretch along this line.
Oh, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
And it's we're a lot longer in time than we are in height. And
true,
you know, and
true. We stretch out.
So what they like to do is they like to, like, weave their life patterns into, like, shapes and stuff.
Interesting.
At this temple.
How
right?
do they do that?
Every day they, like, walk in specific patterns where it looks like they're, like, weaving themselves through time. And their explanation is that it will look cool from the outside. It's like an art form.
It's like if someone's looking at us through the time dimension, it'll look...
Then we want to put on a show.
So they're, like, trying to impress, like, some gods or something like that, maybe?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Oh, okay.
So they make, like, braids, they do knots, and the thing is since they're, like, very predictable people, they do the same thing every day, they're monks.
Yeah.
They, like, walk in the same path. Like, their temple will be shaped like a snake so that they can easily do their braid patterns.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And since they do the same thing every day and they like plan their whole lives like
around this.
Basically from around this, they're really trustworthy because they'll always do what they're predicted to do.
Because that's the whole point of their...
Yeah, because that's the whole point. So, like, they could be trusted with, like, political stuff, with, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
What do you think about that?
I like this. I think this could work in a lot of different fictional universes, actually. I like...
Yeah, because...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, a lot of science fiction universes, they lack, like, a trustworthy party that's predictable and, like...
Yeah. And then they could have, like, this one guy that's, like, really old that, like, has done the same thing over and over again. And, like, the oldest guy is just the de facto leader. Oldest guy or girl. Like, no matter what. Like, they don't elect people because that's not predictable, right? It's, like, so it's just, like, whoever dies, the next oldest is just, like, the leader. And they don't really lead anything. Maybe they just do something in the ceremony. You know what I mean? They, like... Mm-hmm. Hold the tradition or whatever, and there's like some text or something that they read from, but like their just duty is to like be that kind of central figure.
Yeah.
And they don't make any laws or anything. They just like maybe they're like the first person in the line of movement or
exactly.
They read from the snake book every day or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then when they die, the next person goes on and they just go on and on and on and on and on. And then the belief is when they die, maybe they'll be able to, like, see the art that they created, and then it'll, like, be worth it or something like that, you know?
Or that, you know, if you got something's attention by making the cool pattern with your life, then you'll be rewarded somehow.
In the afterlife, if there is one.
Yeah.
And then, like, the god of the snake people will be like, come over to me when they die, and be like, sit on my... throne and watch. Sit on my snake.
Oh, gross! No, don't do that.
And watch your creation, take place. The snake. Was it snake? Order of the snake temple.
It's the order of the snake temple.
It could fit in the information thing, especially because they're like the only truthful people left. Like you know what you're getting yourself into with these people. You know
I mean? Like I was trying to think of a way that like monks could survive far into the future, And like a lot of monks do not really have sustainable beliefs as far as the future goes.
But these people do, because it's time-based. Yeah. It's all based on
because it's time-based. Mm-hmm.
As long as everyone keeps believing in it, then it'll work. Interesting. Do you want to end the show with like a Reddit or something?
I've got I've got some Reddits. All right. This was posted by Mighty Libel.
Thank you, Mighty Libel.
Thank you, Mighty Libel. He asks, what is your favorite water?
What the hell is that supposed to be? My favorite water would be, like, cold water? Is that an answer to that question?
Well, I guess, there's a million different kinds of water. You've got Dasani's, Nestle's.
I don't really pay attention to the flavor of the water when I'm drinking in a bottle. But I will say this. I find Dasani to be a little more metallic-y than other waters.
Same.
Really?
Do you like it?
No, I don't really like it. I mean, maybe you like it, but I don't like it. Do you like
it? I do kind of like it, yeah.
Metallic-y? I do feel like it's metallic-y. It's a little more metallic-y. Like, it feels like it has a little more minerals in it. I find Aquafina to be more, like, pure-ish watery.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if... See, I didn't even know I had a water opinion, but now that we're talking about it, I do. I guess if we're splitting hairs, I'd say Aquafina for my water. Yep. Aquafina brand water. Or whatever they sell at Publix, you know, or the grocery store. Like, whatever.
Zephyr Hills?
Zephyrillus.
That's a good one, too.
As it were. Zephyrillus. That's my favorite water brand, yeah.
All right. This was posted by C. Zerfic. If humans had tails, what would be some changes in modern life because of it?
Oh my god, that would be weird. Humans have, like, tail bones. I think we would go through a phase where it's, like, fashionable or not fashionable. I'm so mad we got this question, like, right before the show is ending, because I feel like this is a long discussion. I feel like we would go through phases where it's, like, sometimes it's, like, in this decade, it's fashionable to show your tail. In this decade, it's not. It's tacky. You know what I mean? Like, similar how, like, men with pants or shorts, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a while there, shorts were just not cool to wear as a dude, you know? And now they're fine, but I feel like we'd go through something like that, you know? With, like, oh, it's cool to show your tail. Oh, no, it's not. Now it's not. It's weird. Or, like...
You know, like, in the 60s and 70s, men used to wear short shorts.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of coming back to that now, but, it would kind of be similar to the tail, like... Maybe it wouldn't be tacky to have your tail out, but, like, if you're in the workplace, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to put it...
You don't want it flopping around.
You don't want to flop it around in there. The tail is a very casual thing to have out. So, like, if you're on the beach, sure. If you're, like, in your house lazing, sure. But if you're at the workplace, no. Or if you're at the bank, no, don't put your tail out in the bank, you know? Especially because your tail, if it works like a dog's tail, when you get excited, it'll, like, wag. And that would cause a lot of issues in the workplace or in, like, a professional setting, in a professional environment.
Was it in Final Fantasy IX that Kimaru, the blue guy, was he the guy that wore his tail, like, around his belt?
You're thinking Final Fantasy X, but yes, I think Kimaru did wear his tail around his belt.
Yeah, I could see something like that.
Oh, that'd be interesting. So maybe that's, like, the formal setting? You wear it like a belt? And then the casuals, you just let it out, you know, to walk you around.
You let it hang loose.
So, like, when you're out drinking with your friends, you just let it hang loose, you know, whatever. When you're out there in the business, it's kind of like it becomes like a belt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the answer to the tail question. Yeah. I feel like I could talk about this for 20 more minutes, but...
Yeah, so could I.
Any final thoughts on the tail?
Any final thoughts? No. I wish I had a tail. It'd be cool.
That's your thought? I don't wish I had a tail. That'd be horrible. Who's our sponsor today, Batsnax?
Our sponsor today is Xenial Brand Custom Sodas.
When you're in the mood for a delicious custom soda, choose
Xenial. Xenial's your brand.
Choose Xenial. It's the brand for you. Remember, when you want to... go to a nation. I don't know.
Try to visit their plantation.
That doesn't sound right, but we'll go with that. This has been episode 96. Good night, everyone. Drive safe.
Good night.